Hello, and welcome to Blood Rituals, everyone. I'm your host, Nicole Fernandez, and this episode is going to get a little psychological. It's going to get a little deep into that subject that we were talking about a few weeks ago about racial attitudes and our children and how to help those racial attitudes become healthy later on whenever they grow up. It's kind of a heavy subject, but it's very informative, and I think that you'll enjoy this episode because it's very educational. Like, I felt like whenever I was reading this book, Nurture Shock, my brain was kind of being cracked open like a walnut on Christmas. So it kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different things that I didn't recognize whenever I was growing up. And whenever I was going through my communications textbook, I also realized that there are plenty of different things that influence our cultural perspective as well. And since we're already touching on this shit, I'm probably going to do a series on all of those different types of cultures at some point, because it seems like a lot of people don't know the difference between, like, for example, like collectivist and individualist societies, and like high context, low context societies, freaking like gender-based societies, and too stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we can get into in the next couple weeks, but yeah, I just think that this episode is going to be fucking kick ass, and we should just jump right in, because it was really fun learning all this information, and I don't really have much to share other than, like, honestly, The Weeknd's album After Hours. I've been listening to that nonstop over and over again for the last 2 weeks. I highly recommend that you listen to that if you've never listened to The Weeknd's new album. Like, in his previous album as well, I think it's like, I don't remember what it's called, but the one that came out just before this one too is also really good. So yeah, check it out. I fucking love The Weeknd. So for this episode and last episode, I'm citing Nurture Shock by Poe Bronson and Ashley Merriman. They studied the subject simultaneously with outdated data to highlight possible discrepancies in our thinking based on, like, new information they found in the field. And they explained why our way of thinking about the world is influenced heavily by the way we're raised, like, in totality. And this, I hope, will serve to help everyone understand that sometimes it isn't our parents' fault that we're the way we are, and it's not really society's, and sometimes it has to do with, like, a pattern of history as well. We can't necessarily blame one or the other whenever it comes to who we are in this world. We kind of have to understand that it's a mixture of all these things, and it is heavily dictated by our style of communicating with people at a young age before they have a chance to really, like, make their own opinions about the world. Children are heavily influenced by the communication style of their parents and also from their teachers and just mainly from anyone in their life, from any place and time. If you think about it, we just communicate with children completely different, and it's kind of sad because children are still people in a sense, and they still have the ability to think rationally in certain circumstances. And it's hard because we know that they're not completely rational beings. They're still learning things. They're still developing. But considering we treat them as lesser sometimes, and we don't communicate things completely due to that perception of them, it kind of changes the way that they view the world because they're feeling like some information is being suppressed somehow. And really, are parents to blame if they were obviously, like, taught for generations to behave this certain way? Like, if you think about it, your parents are taught by your grandparents to act a certain way, and your grandparents learned from their grandparents, and they kind of tease through what they like and what they don't like, and that's how you end up being who you are because they raise you based on their standard of living. And of course it changes every generation, but some basic morals are always there that you learn from previous generations. And it's really hard to blame society completely, obviously, because how can you blame society completely when the child is at home for a period of time during the day? Like, of course, there's access to social media and all that stuff, but there is an influence from both ends at that point. Like, the parents raise the child, and if they don't raise the child, that's also an influence on the child, and it falls into that parental category. And then whenever it comes to, like, patterns in history, that's when racial attitudes come into play, because there are a lot of stereotypes that are passed down through history, through generations, and that are reinforced through the media in certain jokes or just blatantly being racist. And it's really important to, like, know that it's hard to judge this, because, like, even though I'm not inclined to say, like, I lean either way, I just want to say that it's important not to focus on, like, the broad terms of the spectrum right now, like, whenever it comes to, like, society in totality and communicating in totality. We need to focus on all of these aspects of a child's upbringing, specifically in terms of introducing the concept of racial diversity, because whenever we think of racial diversity in conjunction with the parents' influence, society's influence, and patterns made in history, as well as issues with our communication style with our children, it really does help us understand that sometimes racial diversity is not so easy to get across to a child, because there are a lot of mixed feelings that come up whenever people talk about race in general, because you don't really want to form an opinion in a developing mind that might be wrong. So it might be easier to just tell the child not to say something whenever they say something wrong, if that makes sense. So I'm going to get into why that is probably not the best approach whenever a child says something inappropriate in regards to race whenever they're young, in a little bit, just because it's important to really digest all of this, like, as these things come up throughout this discussion, because there are a couple questions we need to ask ourselves. So first of all, why don't we actually broach the subject of race in the home whenever the child is young? Like, if you think about it, most people, whenever they're raised by their parents, at least most people that I've talked to out here in my community, except for, like, maybe one or two families that are very diverse, you know. Anyway, most of the people that I communicate with or that I've heard from have said that race was never really truly, truly discussed and explained whenever the child is young. And it's because there are a lot of different reasons why that happens, but the confusion stems from that whole situation, because children are expected to learn things from their parents, right? Like, they're supposed to understand certain things about the world through the lens of their parents. And one of those things isn't necessarily discussed outright, because it's hard to discuss race without it kind of edging into other people's boundaries and making people uncomfortable. So in terms of, like, bringing up race in the home, there's so many limitations mentally that are blocking people from doing that. And I totally understand why that is. Like, I'm pretty sure whenever I have a child, it's going to be a little difficult. But at the same time, we really need to understand that it's kind of strange that we don't discuss that. We discuss the concept of right and wrong. We discuss the concept of, you know, that stealing is wrong, that lying is wrong, that, like, basically you need to work your hardest and you can't cheat in school because that's wrong. Like, we teach ethics, first of all, and then parents also teach, like, sexual education. Like, we teach kids why their body works a certain way whenever they ask questions about it. Like, for example, like, if a kid gets a cut or something and it's their first time having an infection, some green ooze is going to come out and they're not going to know what the heck that is. And they're going to ask their parent, like, what is this? and they're going to explain what it is. And even if it's in crude terms, like, it's just some nasty shit that's coming out of your hand. Like, at least they know, like, if the parent discusses with them, like, at least the word infection comes up during the sentence, you know, after that, like, some shit's coming out because you have an infection in your hand. At least the child can grasp the concept. Like, children, they grasp concepts very fucking well. Like, you can teach a child how to do percentages by just using the concept apples and oranges. And sure, it looks a little weird on the paper, but whenever you explain the concept of, like, excuse me, like, dividing out the number from the fraction so that X can get by, so X can be by itself, it's basically, like, teaching them, like, you don't need to understand that, like, certain numbers go in certain places because you need the answer. You need to understand that this is the concept and this is how things work. And, you know, that's what parents do. They teach children concepts about how the world works. And, you know, race is one of those things that we really need to try and focus on because, like, we are focusing on gender equality, which is really nice. Like, I'm really glad that we're at least, like, progressing as human beings. I don't think that we're bad at parenting. Like, I'm not a parent. I don't think anybody's bad at, like, parenting their child, like, if they're not discussing race outright. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that it's kind of a new thing to think about. Like, we just started thinking about discussing gender equality in the home. I'm not dismissing the fact that we've talked about racial equality in a communal sense, though. Like, we've definitely talked about it, like, in school and also, like, in the media. However, there are conflicting opinions, aren't there? Like, there are plenty of opinions out there regarding every single thing that's, like, discussing this sort of subject. And whenever it comes to a child being raised, like, they sort of learn these things from their friends whenever they're really young, if they're around children in their neighborhood and whatnot. And if you've, there's a really good example of how children interact if you have Netflix. Like, if you watch The Florida Project, it's a perfect example of how children truly act, like, whenever they're young. And it's kind of hard to watch because it's a rundown motel and there are children living in these rooms with really underprivileged families and whatnot and not so great mothers, but it gives you a bird's eye view into what a child actually does and how they communicate with their friends. And children really do communicate with their friends on their base level skills of communication. So whenever they receive communication, they usually trust their friends more often than not because they believe in their friends having good intentions. Same goes for teachers and same goes for parents. Like, people that are familiar to the child, typically whenever they give the child information, the child doesn't really think twice about it unless they're confronted with an issue where they need to kind of reference that piece of information head on. And it's strange how we don't really broach the subject of race until, like, the child's 6 or 7 when, and that's when they've really, like, cultivated their racial attitudes based on ideals the parents already passed down or, like, assumptions the child's drawing from ideals the parents refuse to discuss, like, leaving these very crucial details of our lives to the imagination of a child who is still developing their sense of right and wrong. So this is not limited to white families either. This is ordinary for every single race and every single home nowadays. Like, I'm pretty sure we can find this in plenty of different countries as well, but I wanted to discuss America in particular because that's where all this information is being drawn from. So that's the best declarative statement I can give regarding this sort of thing. And, you know, we just need to realize that this isn't something that white people should just fucking feel guilty about. This is something that nobody should feel guilty about. Everybody should really just appreciate the fact that we're figuring out that maybe we need to go about this a different way. Because, you know, The strangest thing about this whole thing is that children don't need a crazy, complicated answer to understand what race means. And I'm just going to explain this a little bit further on a base level by, like, telling you some sort of story that came from this book, Nurture Shock. So a child was, you know, in class, and he learned that basically, like, race relates to the skin color being, excuse me, race relates to, like, a person's origin of country, basically. And he learned that by, like, asking the teacher, like, why this person was black, basically. And they said it's because they're from Africa. And it was like the child had a huge light bulb go over his head. And from then on, it was like his racial attitude was a lot more positive because he understood what it meant. And he was more collaborative with the whole entire class instead of just focusing on his own particular race. And this is not one particular case that is unique and special. This is something that has been seen in many different classrooms. Whenever the subject of race is broached in school, of course, people respond well. Like, students respond very well to learning that skin color relates to origin because it explains diversity in a nutshell. Like, someone's family came from another part of the world, so they're another color based on, like, the placement of the sun or whatnot in that area. Like, this isn't the exact definition of what's going on, but whenever this is taught, it explains the concept of diversity well enough so that a child can make decisions based on the ideal that color is based on descent rather than being based on morality. Like, usually kids are shushed when they say something like, why kids can't play basketball, or, like, I don't know, some other weird shit. And this is because they're trying to make sure the child is conditioned not to say such things. Like, whenever you, like, punish a child, typically it means that they're not going to repeat that action again. And we learned that from everything with Pavlov, right? Like, him ringing the bell and the dog salivating and him feeding the dog every time the bell rings and learning that the dog salivates as soon as the bell rings because he makes the connection. We learn that whenever we condition our children to, like, not do certain actions through punishment, it's typically very effective. And whenever we do this with race, it kind of has the opposite effect on the child because it, like, of course it stops them from saying those things. I'm not dismissing that. Of course that happens. But the child is then led to think that it was wrong due to the concept of races. They tend to think that it was wrong because, like, they think the subject itself is unspeakable, basically. Like, they think that it's forbidden to talk about, which makes it, like, much cooler to believe in, if that makes sense. Because whenever you, like, have this hidden language or these, like, things or these concepts about race that you can, like, understand are expressed in nature but not explicitly expressed in front of other people, it kind of seems like it reinforces the idea rather than pushing the child away from it. And children, they're not really absorbers of information like parents think they are. They're more like active creators of concepts. Like, if they're told something such as, hey, don't do that, when they're just talking, rather than being explained the concept of what they're doing being wrong because of certain reasons, they're not really going to connect the dots right away, like, thinking that it's connected directly to racial diversity. They're going to make the connection that, oh, okay, well, I'm not supposed to be saying this right here in this place. Or they're going to make another judgment, and it's going to be solely based on the context around them as opposed to the actual truth of the matter, which is the parents trying to have the child understand that people are of different colors and you can't say those certain things because it's not right. Like, children need to be explained. Children need to have the concept of racial diversity explained to them and its meaning in the world so that a child can actually associate that sort of like punishing language a different way, because punishing language is put in the same category as everything else that the child is punished for. Like, if a child is punished for lying or stealing, they just put it into this category as this is what is, like, these are things that are bad to do, basically. Like, even swear words are confused with lies when children are tested by psychologists to recognize if children are learning the intended concepts from punishments. And it goes to show that punishing children doesn't always reinforce healthy ideas for the child to carry on for the rest of their lives. It kind of shows that it harms them in a way by constantly punishing them instead of trying to explain to them different behaviors that they could do instead of what they were doing in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, strictly setting up punishments for children doesn't work as well as we thought it did. And it doesn't necessarily make children more obedient either. It kind of just makes them say and do what they know they need to say and do in certain situations. And then they move along through life just going through the motions. And it's not right for us to set children up to just go through the motions their entire life. That's sort of selfish on our part to be so scared to talk about what race means and to answer questions in regards to race and to explain the nature of stereotypes and all of that stuff, even on a base level. I know it's frustrating for us to do that because it's really hard to relate big concepts like that to a child, but there are ways that we can do this. Like, there are certain ways that a lot of psychologists recommend doing this for children, and I'm going to go ahead and get into that because it seems like a good time. But after that, I'll go ahead and get into why, like, children can't really rely on their school atmosphere to teach them diversity. In particular, because there are a few certain factors that influence that, and we don't really think about every single one of them heavily. And I'm only going to discuss them because I've been introduced to some of these issues while tutoring, and I think that it would be magnificent if everybody else was on the same page as me and can actually understand that there are certain issues that come about in a child's school environment that are really hard to explain away or to actually converse with the child with because it's a part of their own private life. It's kind of like it's behind the scenes, if you will. Anyway, so here are some ways to introduce race into the home in a really healthy way and to kind of like answer questions regarding race if your child starts asking about it. Number one, expose the child to areas with high diversity in that environment. So basically, like, if you live in a neighborhood where all the children are one color, who cares? Like, that's fine. Have the child play there. Who freaking cares? But maybe every so often, it's not such a bad idea to take the child to a different park so that they can experience different people and see different types of, like, different ethnicities basically interacting in different families and like how those families interact with one another. Like, it kind of just makes sense to expose the child to different diversities and different cultures while they're still developing and while they're still young enough to play so that they have a chance to make friends with other kids that are in different, you know, different ethnicities and whatnot. It just makes sense because then they'll learn through these other kids and through these other kids' parents and whatnot, like different religions, different concepts about life, different ways of eating, different ways of art, different clothing, just a bunch of different things that they would have never known. And it's super interesting because children really respond well to being around different children from different environments. It really does help because they want to learn about the world. Like, children are so curious about everything. All they want to do is learn why things are the way they are. Like, even whenever babies are born, babies recognize, like, if they're around their parents, for example, they recognize their color like no other. They'll look at them and they're not so curious after a while. They sort of get used to it. And whenever they see other people of the same race, they're not as surprised. But psychologists have tested and seen that children, babies, like newborn infants, whenever they see a new like race being introduced, they're just like a little confused at first because they're trying to make sense of what it means. And that is sort of what happens thereafter. Like children and babies, sorry, I don't know why I keep saying children, but babies just sort of like try to decipher what's going on around them with heavy focus on detail. And details, if you think about it, make up the essence of life. Like without specifics, we don't really have dimension to our story. Like I can be a girl who works in a factory that likes to read, but without the specific things that I do, I'm not individualized in any sort of way. If you say, or if I say, I am a girl that works at a factory that manufactures like car parts, and I love reading horror stories, but I also love really touching sad stories that make me cry sometimes, then you kind of get a taste of who I am more than the previously mentioned thing. And that's really what kids are trying to get across to us whenever they're asking, what do you mean, all the time. They're not asking, what do you mean, to bug you. They want specifics because they want to understand where you're coming from. And some kids express this desire and this curiosity and this confusion through nonverbal habits. Like they internalize everything. And this is a sign of like some learning disabilities and some mental disabilities exhibit a lot of internalized behaviors, such as keeping their emotions inside and like not really expressing their thoughts too often. And whenever this happens, it's really important to take note of the fact if your kid is sort of like this, because if they're confused, they're not going to say it. You have to explain things for them so that they understand, because they're not going to ask you for it. And yeah, some parents are going to say, well, how are you going to teach them to ask for things if you just always give them the answer to everything all the time? Well, maybe you express to them that it's always okay to ask us if you're confused about something, and then explain the concept to them. Like, reinforce the fact that you know that they have trouble expressing themselves, so you're going to help them. That's the one thing that is really hard for people to grasp nowadays, is there's no how do you do this or how do you do that. You just have to do it. You have to try. You have to really try to get the child to understand your whole entire intention. And as long as your intentions are good, there's not going to be a problem. As long as you let them know that you really understand that they're having an issue learning these sorts of things, and then you explain the concept to them, then everything's going to be fine, because they're going to be progressing slowly. Like, and even if they progress slowly, at least they're progressing and they're learning to trust you, and they're understanding that you're taking the time to understand that, okay, like, you're a little different, you don't really express things well, and we're going to learn how to get you to express these things in a healthy way, since you obviously don't understand like these social cues that are going on that we're trying to give you. You know what I mean? It's very important to pay attention to those sorts of things. Children express like very loud, externalized behaviors that are disruptive sometimes, and that can sort of be bad, like, and really annoying. I totally understand that. It's very frustrating, because as human beings, we like rationality. We like whenever people can take care of their shit. And whenever children are going haywire and they're super confused, or they're like really excited and they're like shouting and like getting really antsy and like happy and whatnot, it's kind of hard to settle those kids down that have excessive behaviors that are external. Like, they're really fucking noticeable. And whenever a child is like expressing something in terms of race, or they're confused, sure, like it might turn into an argument because of those sorts of things. And that is something that parents sort of need to take a step back and review if it does happen, because sure, like arguments are going to happen no matter what. With every parent, with every child, like arguments are bound to happen. But the most important part is to just make sure that you come back after an argument and you make sure that you guys apologize to each other formally and learn how to communicate with each other properly as you start parenting them, instead of just sticking to who you are and continuing the cycle of bad communication whenever it comes to hard subjects or difficult things that don't jive with their like excessive behavior. Like, that's the one thing that we need to learn above all is patience whenever we're explaining concepts to children, because that can go a long way. Just really, really knowing that we can take a break and come back to this subject tomorrow. Like, you have the child every single fucking day. You have time to teach them stuff. You don't have to jam it into their head right away. Other important things to keep in mind about talking to children about diversity is you don't really need to teach them tolerance either. Like, children, they're born with like a natural sense of justice and fairness. So unless they're taught specifically to be harmful or cruel in certain circumstances, children will know that it's wrong to attack others for no reason, basically, unless they're actually taught that from experience. And if, you know, parents start experiencing their child like exhibiting these sorts of behaviors, they'll know that somebody surrounding the child is expressing these sort of ideals that they need to sort of become aware of at that time. And that'll also uncover where these things are coming from. And then the parent can explain to the child why that view is wrong, instead of just saying, "That's wrong, you can't say that." If that makes sense. So it's not like parents are doing anything wrong by saying, "Oh no, you can't say that." It's more the fact that we need to explain why things are wrong so that children don't jump to the conclusion on their own. Because if the child has questions about differences in like physical characteristics or cultural practices or racial jokes or racial slurs, we need to remember that children at this age, they're learning how to sort and categorize things as they start to understand the world. And questions like this are totally normal. Like, we all have questions like this. And talking about different cultures and customs and races and answering questions about these sorts of things, it teaches your child that it's okay to notice differences instead of shunning them into thinking that it's not okay to bring these things up with another individual, that we need to just privately think about these things. Like, that, moreover, is what's most harmful about racial attitudes coming out of shunning people whenever they ask questions about race and whatnot, because it produces this unhealthy idea that you really can't discuss ideas with people in different races, or sorry, you can't discuss certain ideas with certain races, like cross-culturally, and that is where there's a huge divide between religions and whatnot. That's why there's a huge divide between people that are in like the Hoodoo tradition and Voodoo and, you know, every other tradition that is indigenous. Like, even Native American traditions are a little hard to follow because we are kind of scared to broach that subject with other people sometimes. And it's because we're taught at a young age that it's like wrong to notice these differences. It's like we are supposed to be colorblind and we're not supposed to pay attention to these things. That's why that episode of The Office is so fucking brilliant. Because whenever Michael is basically saying, I'm colorblind, like, we all know that he is, like, we can follow the fucking humor because he's being willfully ignorant at that fact, or at that point. I can't even talk. I'm sorry. He's just being willfully ignorant at that point. And it's hilarious because we know that that's wrong, right? But in a way, Steve Carell did that whole thing, and none of us really realize how genius it is, like how genius it is to understand that many people understand race just like that. They understand that race is seriously supposed to be us being colorblind, us not paying attention to people's races or colors and pretending we're all the same. Like, we can't pretend that we're all the same because we're not all the same. It sets up this unrealistic expectation about reality for the individual. And that, to me, it just seems like that's a little lazy. Like, instead of really getting deep into our child's brains or children's brains and trying to teach them the value of racial and cultural diversity by really explaining, like, other cultures, past and present, like, even if it's just present, like, you don't even have to get into ancient civilizations and all of that crap, but just explaining, like, the value of different cultures and, like, why people act the way they do and, like, look the way they do and, like, different outfits and whatnot, like, you know, like, why people, like, wear certain headdresses sometimes or, like, certain, like, traditional clothing during ceremonies sometimes that they might see on TV, like, all of this stuff. Like, it really just shows that, of course, it's a lot of effort, but it kind of explains why a lot of people, like, don't get this in their life, because it is a lot of effort. It is a lot of fucking work to make sure that your child's understanding the value of racial and cultural diversity, without it getting confused. It's very common for children to get confused, and that gets really frustrating. And that's just really something we need to remember, is that, you know, children are gonna get confused. They're still learning. We have to fucking deal with it. And we still have to be there in order to teach them these concepts and not, like, skimp on their perspective of life. Like, we can't, like, short them of the ability to actually think for themselves and to critically understand the world from a normal point, not normal point of view, but from a healthy point of view. And it all comes from really teaching them to see the broader value of, like, acceptance. Like, whenever children are taught racial and cultural diversity, they're really just learning how to accept other people in different walks of life. And this goes in terms of not just racial and cultural diversity, but socioeconomic levels, gender, disabilities, mental disabilities, like learning disabilities, like all of those different things. Like, those are very important. Like, teaching acceptance in a child's life is very important because that's a skill everybody needs today. Like, every country is so diverse that we need to understand how to communicate with other cultures. And we need to understand the difference between, like, individualist and collectivist cultures, like high context and low context cultures, all of that stuff. And, like, if you've never taken a communications course, I totally understand that maybe these things are kind of out of left field, but I will do a series on those sorts of environments and how we interact with one another culturally and why we kind of have a divide in that regard. But for the sake of this episode, I'm just going to come right back to cultural diversity because that's a long ass tangent and we already know how long my tangents can get. We really also, as people that are around the children, not necessarily just parents, but just anyone who is around a child try to take a look at your own attitude and really think about like factors that make you uneasy or uncomfortable about yourself and about your environment and about like different things in your own background. Because if you're uncomfortable about yourself and you're not necessarily like expressing yourself confidently in a certain manner, your child will pick it up. So if you're expressing race in a very precocious way and you're really uncomfortable and uneasy about it, your child's going to pick up on it and they're going to recognize race as a sensitive topic. And yeah, this is really fucking hard to move past, but the more you practice talking about race and introducing it into the home, like really effective ways to do that is to like mainly like television shows. Like a lot of people will first discuss like race briefly and then watch television shows. And, you know, the child still doesn't really understand the concept of race and like equality and whatnot, just because they weren't explained like the concept thoroughly enough. Instead, all they get is, yeah, we're all equal. But then they go to school and they hear their friends saying a bunch of different shit, like different stereotypes. And they're like, okay, well, I saw on Sesame Street, blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, well, Sesame Street is fake. Like, that's fucking fake. Like, you can't believe that. That's not real. They're obviously going to believe their friends as opposed to their parents because they just got told that their parents were a liar. And they trust their friends. And parents do have, like, they do elicit certain instances where they're quote-unquote lying. Like, that's really the hard part about kids is that parents are seen as deceitful sometimes because they won't quote unquote follow through with their promises. And what that means is that if a parent promises something to a child and they can't follow through, like even if it's an emergency, like they're freaking stuck at work basically, and the child is told that explanation, they won't care what the explanation is. All they'll know is that the parent didn't follow through on their promise, so they lied. They lied about what they were going to do. And that's kind of shitty because those instances where the parent just cannot deliver on something show this, It shows the child that they can be untrustworthy sometimes. And if their friend has never shown them any sort of deceitful manner directly, they're going to believe them. And that's why it's important not to just introduce the cartoon to your child and not just to rely on school to teach cultural diversity. There needs to be a mediation and an introduction from the parent before these things are introduced so that the child has like information to plug into these certain arenas. Like if they're going into school without a perception on diversity whatsoever, they're going to learn strictly off of stereotypes. So I'll go ahead and talk about that here and get back to all the different ways to bring in race into the home, I guess. So like children, they really cannot rely strictly on their school atmosphere years down the road to understand the meaning of diversity, since they will typically learn about it a few ways, like through stereotypes, through stories from those around the children, and through personal experiences with other races. So, like, stereotypes are shared constantly in early schooling. Like, children are in all different stages of interaction, and some are learning how to be around groups of children for the first time. And others are used to being around various different people, like various different races of all different kinds, different cultures and whatnot. Good examples of these children are like children that are constant churchgoers. Like there is a huge cultural diversity when it comes to certain churches. And, you know, that proves to be like a good influence on the child sometimes. I don't fucking know about the church being a great influence on the child. I don't really know. I can't really say because I feel like every single church is different and it depends on you personally going and experiencing the priest and whatnot and like the atmosphere to judge whether or not it's okay. But anyway, I was just giving an example of an environment that a child would be coming from. And like we talked about earlier, like parks, even libraries, like different areas of town that have a lot of diversity, like restaurants or like coffee places. There are so many different options. But anyway, some are just learning to be around groups of people while others are already used to being around bunches of different people. And some have learning disabilities. Like I said before, mental disorders. Some are simply influenced by their home life to believe in certain ideals as well. Like on the last episode, I kind of talked about wind talkers and whatnot. But long story short, whenever you're taught by somebody that you're related to that a certain race is fucking useless, you're going to kind of think that it's a little logical at some point. Unless you've been taught from your parents not to believe those ideals before your relative starts talking about it. But I digress. I'm just simply saying that a lot of ideals are also blended into the child's foundation because they are taught that by somebody that they trust. And all of these things influence a child's perception on race, seeing as each individual influence is very hard to ignore and impossible to understand without context. Like, there was a study where students all wore different t-shirts, for example, and, like, there were a certain number of students that wore red shirts, a certain amount of students that wore yellow shirts, a certain amount of students that wore black shirts, like, so on and so forth, and there were, like, a couple different groups, and, like, after a few days, they had a questionnaire that asked a few questions, like, is the red team good? With answers like most of them are good, some of them are good, and none of them are good. Like, and then other questions like, how likely is this team to lie? Like, stuff like that. And all the answers showed that students would say that any team that wasn't theirs were only partially good, and that they were only partially likely to do the right thing, and only some of them were likely to do something bad. And whenever it came to their own color, they always said amazing things. They always said that they would always, like, all of them would tell the truth. All of them are really good. All of them are least likely to lie. And it showed that students sided with their color the most because, like, by nature, we team with individuals who we categorize as similar to us. Like, kids, like I said, are constantly learning to sort and organize things in their environments. So we do this with people as well. And that's where the individualist society kind of comes in. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here since we're already at that point. Like, this is where the theory of mind pairs with racial attitudes and social awareness, because in our individualized culture, we all just focus on ourselves, like, rather than the collective whole of humanity. And it's not to say that we're super fucking selfish, but it's more like, whenever we go into the world, we end up living by ourselves instead of living with our family for the rest of our life. And we typically go on to do our career and have our own personal families. And we just sort of leave the nest and we don't come back unless it's a holiday or on a week-by-week basis. It's like one of those things. We sort of tend to have our own individual lives. And in a collectivist culture, that's not really the goal. You're always working towards what the greater picture is for your whole entire family line later on, like generations from you. You're not thinking about these next couple years for you specifically. You're thinking about your entire life all the time, involving every other person that you care about. So that's the first thing that we really need to pay attention to is that in America, we really do have like sort of a blended culture of like individualized and collectivism, but it's more individualized if you had to choose one or the other. And that pairs with our degree of social awareness because like we can't be 100% in tune with everything around us if our main focus is our individual life. And that's not bad. Like, it's totally okay for that to be the case. It's just that we need to be able to learn how to be socially aware so that we can practice those skills when they come up, like whenever we need to actually practice them. And that's when, like, we need to be able to practice social awareness, for example, whenever we're in big crowds. Like, we need to be able to pick out dangerous people in our mind so that we don't get fucking right up in their groin while we're dancing. Like, we really need to think about these things ahead of time whenever we go into social situations. And social awareness is something that we need to be taught. And like Socrates said, we must be taught virtue in order to understand its value, since it's not a natural process in the mind. Like, if we all had the natural ability to just always be virtuous, we wouldn't need to be taught virtue. We would just do it. It would be like blinking or eating or drinking water. If it was natural, our body would just know how to do that. And of course, we have gut feelings for what is bad and what is good, but those gut feelings are really just physical responses to psychological ideas that you have and subconscious reactions to things. If you're uncomfortable with something, of course, your body's going to react a certain way so that you're more averse to doing that action. And that's the thing that we need to remember the most, is that like we need to be taught not only virtue, but we need to be taught that grouping ourselves with what makes us comfortable is what is natural. And it's not like what our society is built upon at all. Like, we don't build our society upon tenets where we group ourselves with things that are only making us comfortable. Like, of course, the media is like that. TV shows are totally like that. In TV shows, How I Met Your Mother basically teaches you to always hang out in a bar with only your best friends and never really branch out unless you're strictly dating. And that's a really shitty way to view the world. But we still, like, put that into the media because that's what we really wish we could do with our lives. Like, we really do subconsciously have the desire to group ourselves with people that we find comfortable and to never have that change. Like, it would be really desirable to always have things stay the same whenever they're good for us, whenever things are actually going well for us. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. Like, we have a society that is basically built on a foundation that begs for understanding and ask for instances where individuals must willingly be uncomfortable for periods of time while learning something new about the world and about the ways of life outside of them. Like, virtue is a huge tenet whenever it comes to like understanding racial diversity, and so is social awareness. Social awareness is an ability like humans have, but it's typically like just really necessary to teach individuals ways to be aware of themselves and the world outside of them for the individual to progress successfully. Because without real, true guidance, that process takes so much longer. Like, sometimes it spans into the adolescence of a child's life. And by then, they've already formed major opinions that they'll cement into their moral foundation because they don't know any better. Like, it's really fucking important for us to understand that just because something makes us comfortable, it doesn't mean it's always right for us to do. And just because people around us believe certain things, it doesn't mean that we need to believe in those things either. Like, if you're trying to, like, I'm saying this because maybe you're trying to understand how to change your opinion about your racial attitude, or maybe you're just simply trying to understand how to relate this whole idea to a child, but, yeah, you just need to understand that regardless of what goes on, if you're relating this to a child, if you're relating it to yourself, no matter how uncomfortable it is, the subject needs to be broached. That's the bottom line. We have to be uncomfortable sometimes, and we have to be able to explain social awareness to children and explain self-awareness, and not only explain, but teach it to them. Like, and I explained in the last episode ways to teach self-awareness and social awareness to yourself. So if you want those tips, go ahead and listen to that. But yeah, it's just really important for us to do that, because think about how personally involved we are with children nowadays. Like, how much do we really know about their honest perception of the world? Like, sure, they're expressive, but a lot of the things they learn are shuffled into their subconscious because they're just becoming mere messages they rely on as fact due to the confusion that it's becoming a sure that it's coming from a sure trustworthy source of material. And this is like from a child that's maybe like between the ages of, like, really the developmental ages, any age this can really happen, where information is shuffled into a child's subconscious and they don't really relay it later on because it's in their subconscious. Like, they kind of got distracted because they're a child and their attention span is also developing. Like, it's really important to know that children are constantly, constantly changing on a second-to-second basis. Like, children who leave the home for school will always come back a new human being. So we need to understand that every piece of information that's going into a child's brain will never know every single thing that they learned. And the child might not even know, because it might be buried in their subconscious. They might just believe in certain things and not know where those things come from. And that's okay, as long as the parent is willing to discuss these things with them whenever they're ready to bring up the things that they're confused about. There's no way we're going to be able to pick apart a child's brain surgically to understand, you know, their actual perception on things. But one thing that we do have is the ability to discuss these things with the child with the mindset that they are constantly learning new things and we need to be prepared for anything. Like, they might ask us a question about literally anything, but, you know, in terms of race and whatnot, this is obviously applicable, but let's try and think even bigger now. Like, let's try and take a step back and think about even broader concepts. Like, people change on a day-to-day basis, even when they're adults. Like, that goes for every single one of us. We're all constantly changing, and we're all constantly needing to learn new boundaries, adjust our previous ones, learn new social rules, learn new things about the world to stay appropriate, and to also be knowledgeable about things that are important for, like, the greater good, and also progress in life, and to be attentive to those things that are in our immediate sphere of influence, and to take care of those that we love. We all constantly crave some sort of validation or some sort of guidance so that we understand things that don't make sense in our world. And, like, just imagine what it's like to be a child with not even a fraction of all the information that we have in our heads from all the years that we've been alive. Like, information is built in our brain and stored in our brain, like, almost like an avalanche effect. Once we start growing up, we have the ability to carry more information the more we progress with age. And of course, like, there's a point when our brain starts, like, slowing down whenever we get older, but for the most part, it kind of, like, evens out, and we consistently think about concepts on a great scale. Like, we have the ability to think about complex issues if we develop our mindset to that degree. And in order to get to that point, of course, it does take some healthy behaviors, like paying attention to like instances in your life that you need to reflect on, like consequences that you need to learn from and whatnot, and like weird things that happen. You need to explain like to yourself why that happened, or like learn from somebody else why that happened. Anyway, we have to kind of pay attention to like exactly why we're doing that all the time, because we're not sitting here like judging ourselves, and we're not sitting here like trying to like fall in accordance with the social order. We're really just trying to learn how to better be a part of our, like, excuse me, be a part of our world in a better sense and in a fuller sense, so that we have like clarity, like so that we have the ability to think critically all the time and not be led by illusions, especially by ourselves. Like, that's the number one thing humans do, is we always disillusion ourselves and start to convince ourselves that the way that we're thinking is the only way we should be thinking. And that's never, ever the case. Like, and if we continuously follow in those behavioral patterns, those patterns will definitely be passed on to our children, you know? So just try to be aware of that. Try to be aware of those sorts of things whenever you're going around your daily life. Like, parents just need to pay attention to cues children give out when they're confused or need clarification in terms of race, more specifically, because like parents should really try their best to be the first people to introduce the concept, so all the questions can be answered now by the parent rather than simply being assumed by the still developing child, who obviously has no way to create rational arguments in their brain. Like, it's sort of a recipe for disaster if we leave that all up to the child. And just imagine like how stressful that is to, and imagine how stressful it was for you growing up if you did experience this, like realizing that people of different races are actually seriously just different people, like instead of being like ghetto or being scary or being like chola, you know what I mean? Like all these fucking horrifying terms that we prescribe to people, but you know, are funny whenever we're joking, but are passed around in school very seriously, affect us later on. And we don't want to keep contributing to that behavior and that lifestyle if we can help it. So, you know, in conjunction with that, I really don't have many more tips, to be honest, whenever you talk about race and cultural diversity in the home. I would just recommend that you try to teach children as much as you can about as many different cultures as you can, and try to introduce films and movies that highlight these things being things that people should be proud of. And if you're a part of an ethnic home, you know, try to teach the child that it's okay to embrace their ethnicity, to not be afraid to be proud of the fact that they're Mexican, or be proud of the fact that they're Irish, or be proud of the fact that they're African American. Like, really try to embrace these things so that the child doesn't feel uncomfortable about their differences if you're uncomfortable about your own. Like, and if you're uncomfortable about your own, that's totally up to you to discuss with the child whether or not, like, it's totally up to you to discuss with the child the concept of you being uncomfortable with it, but like, it just seems like either way, as long as you're communicating the important things, like the important concepts, like that race is diverse and that children need to understand that certain things can't be said because it'll trigger certain actions or certain reactions from certain people, and emotional feelings. Sorry, emotional feelings. Of course they're fucking emotional feelings. They're emotional. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that as long as the parent tries their best to communicate as well as they can, you can't go wrong. Like, your child's going to see that you're trying your best. And as long as you try your best, they'll know that you want the best for them and that you're trying really hard to explain a concept to them. And as long as you don't approach the subject, like I said earlier, like really hesitantly and like standoffishly and like nervous to answer questions, it's going to be okay. And if you are scared to talk about these things because you're afraid that you're going to present yourself in that sort of way, just let them know that maybe, like, just make something up. Just let them know that you're nervous because of something else so that they prescribe that emotion with something else. Like, really just try your hardest to bring positive emotions and positive reinforcement whenever it comes to explaining racial diversity and cultures and different religions and whatnot. And try hard not to compare other religions to one another too much, unless you're like drawing like actual similarities that are beneficial. Like, if you're drawing like similarities between like religious practices, I totally get it. But if you're drawing differences between like Christianity and hoodoo in terms of saying like Christianity is the only true religion and this hoodoo religion is indigenous and you shouldn't really believe in it, I don't really think that's going to help the child view, I don't think it's going to help the child respect that religion at all. And I understand that that's probably the intention of the parent at that point. But, I mean, I'm just trying to explain this because maybe you're a person that was explained this sort of thing whenever you were young. And maybe that's why you don't fucking respect certain religions, is because one religion was upheld and some ideals of other religions, since they were shunned at a young age, you think that they're irrelevant and really unbeneficial towards progress. So anyway, that's really all I have. That's really all I have for this episode, because like, I already gave you several tips whenever it comes to introducing racial diversity, and I told you a million times why it's important, but let's try and think of this a little deeper today. Let's try and get a little philosophical today. Go ahead and ask yourself when in your life you were introduced the concept of racial diversity in a healthy manner, and really reflect on that. And try to understand where your racial attitude stems from. Try to find the experience from which your actual attitude regarding people comes from, like deep inside. Don't lie to yourself. Really think about it and accept it for like 2 seconds so that you can kind of make a change. Like, if you look at a picture of like a Mexican lady and your first thought is the lady from Family Guy, then maybe you're kind of, you kind of need to investigate where that bias is coming from. Like, maybe you just watched that cartoon. Okay, I understand. But move on to another race and kind of like try to grasp where you were taught these concepts. Because even though some funny images will come up in your brain at first, like immediate references that you've been familiar with in the last couple weeks or months or so, you'll be able to trace back further and further the more you think about it, where you were actually taught these certain things and how you were taught these certain things. And even though it might not go all the way to the fucking origin, like to kindergarten or to your fucking babyhood, you might get to a point where you'll like remember a class that you took where a teacher explained something in class and you were like, oh, okay, I remember learning about Indians for the first time and I didn't know what an Indian was. And I learned that like the Spanish people came here, and that's really like how white people came to America at that point. And not like, obviously, I don't really know if that's like exactly how it is. It might be like I really think like the Spanish came here first and then the British came afterwards, but I'm really fucking tired and it's like 12:55 in the morning. So my history is not on point, but those examples still serve to prove a purpose because you guys might think about that. You might think about the Martin Luther King speech. Like I went through that today with one of the kids that I was tutoring. She just read it for the first time and she didn't really know the importance of it until today. And it kind of like moved her a little bit because she understood like, damn, there was a lot of shit that happened whenever people were still trying to gain their rights back then. So anyway, just food for thought. I thought that would be a fun little thought experiment for this week because we're already getting really philosophical. We're kind of getting psychological too. This is like a religion, a cult, philosophy podcast, but I guess it's sort of psychological too. I've been getting really into psychology lately just because of my therapist. Like, that woman has seriously transformed my whole fucking life by teaching me how to think differently about things. Like, I can't even express my gratitude. I fucking love you, Tara. If you're listening, I fucking love you. Anyway, like I said, that's all I really have to say. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to my rant about racial diversity. Since we spent so much time listening to this, just do your best and, don't be racist this week. Just try really hard not to be racist this week. And try to understand different people's point of views. Sayonara, Sally! Talk to you next week.